Good evening.
Good evening.
I assume you're the first Dawn?
I think so.
Okay.
That sounds like someone.
It is.
Has joined.
Good evening. Someone is either muted or doesn't want to identify.
Good evening. Good evening.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
We will begin with Anabakoa. Anabekoach gedulat shemincha latir seril ra Aleph Bet Gimel Yutaf Sadi Kabel rinat amcha sad beinu Saharedu Nora Ufrey Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevava Shamre Nun Gimaldalit Yud Kashin Barhem Taharim Rachamei Sikatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Tzaditav Gimel Hasim Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adata Et Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zofrei Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Bezayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tadi Yuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohewahe, Adonai Yohewahe, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav chesed be'emet, notzer chesed la'alapim, notzea on wafesha, v'chata'a v'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing the verse from Parashat Yitro, from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It's known as Pasuk 29. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudcha berichu ishkim tevid hilu urchimu ud hilu urchimu. Liachta, Lishem, Yud Hei Bavate, Beyehuda, Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayehino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeihu. Rabbi Abba Mar Bekamatar Tane Nandukucha Rihu Koma De Aved Leila Witata Kolaihu Kishot Liovada Dikshot Veleid Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Vedach Yaleya Mine Yaulan Haga Beyakalana Dehakuru Ovada Big Shot Inun Wikolaid Stiri Bialma. The energy of the year 5774. This peace in the Middle East. We will study a verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. The verse we study is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10.
Wesamti makom liami liYisrael untati vishatan takta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto Ka'asher Barishona.
The energy of our current year, 5781, is the redemption. We will study a verse that has the gematria of the year, 781, as this verse connects to the same energy of as the year, which is the redemption.
Wegam mehem ekach lakohanim lalivim amar Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo wahe dawanu heyo.
That is verse from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 21.
Has joined.
We will now connect to the 72 names of Hashem, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence.
Wahe wayo la yo sayote ala me mehe shi la la he aka aka heta ezayo ala da la awa he hea yozala me behe he reyo he kome la awa kala yo la wawa he he la Nulacha yo 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 me la he he wa nuta he he a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nuda anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he Sa'ala reyo ashila meyo he. Wahe wa danu yo he he shi ame me. Nunu a nu yota me be he pe wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la he 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 re he me tsa re. Wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo. Ra me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa be.
We will now connect to the 72 names from the that were revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tool. Wah, 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 yo, 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 sa, be, te, a, me, me, be, shi, la, yo, hey, anu, a, ka, me, ta, he, he, yo, anu, da, la, he, wa, he, me, a, yo, ta, la, me, re, hey, hey, yo, yo, hey, me, me, la, wa, wa, ka, be, yo, la, yo, wa, pe, nu, la, nu me ha yo he yo me nu hey 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 shi wa nu yo hey hey a shi a hey a yo re ta shi a hey re la yo a wa me lo la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a to me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za hey she hey make ha ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la re yo a la me ta hey wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey hey a nu a ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la me hey 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 me za re wa hey be yo a hey ala wa me za yo da hey be me ka ko ala a hey be hey hey wa re la hey yo yo me hey la yo me hey me. Today is the 11th day of Adar, and the tzaddikim who chose to lead this day, Rabbi Moshe Pardo, Rabbi Pinchas Hager of Borsha, Rabbi Yosef Adler, known as the Turda Rebbe, Rabbi Chaim David Halevi. And the eighth verse of the Anna Bekoach, we say in a whisper. Please cover your eyes as we say together. Shema Israel, Adonai Yohewahe Adanu. Yo ahe dawa nu he yo Eloheinu Adonai yo he wahe adanu yo yo ahe dawa nu he yo V'ahavta et Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yo Ahei Dawanu Hei Yo Elohecha V'kol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha U'v'chol Meodecha V'chayu Hadvarim Ha'ele Asher Anokhi Mitzavcha Hayom alevavecha, v'shinantam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, v'shivtecha beveitecha, uvlechtecha v'aderech, uvshakvecha, uvkumecha, ukshartam liod al yadecha. With Hayula Totafot Bene Necha Uktaltam Almazuzot Betecha Uvisharecha. Now connect to the Ani meditation, which is the tool we use to climb the tree of life. Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey. Yesod. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Hod. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Netzach. Ye ahini wu yohi. Ye ahini wu yohi. Ye ahini wi yohi. Tiferet. Yo ahoni wo yoho. Yo ahoni wo yoho. Yo ahoni wo yoho. Yibura. Ye ash ni wi yosh. Ye ash ni wi yosh. Ye ash ni wi yosh. Chesed. Ya aheni we yohe. Ya aheni we yohe. Ya aheni we yohe. Bina. Ya aheni we yohe. Ya aheni we yohe. Ya aheni we yohe. Hakma. Ya aheni wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Keter. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Today's class is an essay or a teaching by the Ari from the Parasha of Tetzaveh. You'll find it on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. That opens up to a landing page of the writings of the Ari. If you scroll down to Parasha Tetzaveh, there's two links under Tetzaveh, and the second one is titled Dressed for Success. And that is what we will be reading today. We will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bovate Ve'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah, vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konanei aleinu maasei yadeinu konaneihu. The garments of the high priest were conduits for holy unifications. This week's Torah portion, Tetzaveh, discusses the special garments the priests had to wear while performing their service in the tabernacle, and later they wore the same garments in the Holy Temple. And we have read the Ari's writings about the process of how the Mishkan in the desert became a semi-permanent building without a roof in Shiloh, and ultimately became a permanent building, or semi-permanent because it was destroyed, but it had all the walls and roofs in Jerusalem when King Solomon completed it. Every priest had to wear four basic garments: pants, In Hebrew, the word is miknasayim, a tunic, which is called a kutonet, a sash called an abnet, and a turban-like headgear, migba'at. In addition, the high priest had to wear four additional garments, a robe, which is known as me'il, a half skirt, the ephod, a breastplate, a hoshen, and a headband called tzitz. The headgear of the high priest is more elaborate than that of a regular priest and is called mitznefet in place of migba'at. The Zohar describes the spiritual powers of the ephod and the hoshen is as follows. The ephod, which is the half, corresponds to the ability to perceive spiritually through a clouded glass, while the Choshen corresponds to the ability to perceive spirituality through a clear glass. The former is the back, and the latter is the front. I hope you're recognizing why, by having it in front of the high priest over his heart, it allows him to perceive truth and spirituality more clearly than when he's perceiving it from something that's on his back. The ephod is, as we have said, a sort of half skirt tied around the waist, which covers the back part of the body from the waist down. Two suspender-like straps come out of the upper edge of the back part of the ephod and extend over the chest, the crest of the shoulders. Onto these straps are fastened two chains from which the choshen hangs. The hoshen is a folded piece of fabric which rests over the chest, onto which are fixed 12 precious stones. And I'm adding, from discussions of prophecy from some tzaddikim, that we learn that the ephod connects to the world of Yetzirah, while the hoshen connects to the world of Bria. The Choshen symbolizes the ability to perceive spirituality directly. Thus, although parts of it are visible from the front, the ephod mainly covers the back of the body, while the Choshen is entirely on the front of the body. Back and front in the imagery of Kabbalah denote direct and indirect experience. Thus, the ephod symbolizes the ability to perceive spirituality through a clouded glass, which may mean either a translucent but not transparent pane of glass or a mirror. In either case, what is implied is an indirect experience. In contrast, the choshen symbolizes the ability to perceive spirituality through a clear glass more directly. I will also emphasize, when you talk about the back of a sefirah, you're talking about the sefirot below it. So the back of chesed is givurah. The back of givurah is tiferet, and so forth. To explain, Zeranpin and its nukva are initially back-to-back. Zeranpin corresponds to the choshen, and the ephod corresponds to its nukva. God emanated the sefirot initially as one-dimensional points. This means that each sefirah was a pure manifestation of one of God's attributes. Although in this form, each sephirah was extremely intense, the scheme was incomplete. For in order for any two entities to interrelate and interact, each must possess something of the other. Their common ground for communication and cross-fertilization is the presence of each one in the other. For example, in order for two people to communicate, each has to have a place in his mind where he can at least to some extent picture what it is to be the other person. Through this mini presence of the other person within himself, he can understand what the other person is saying and couch what he wants to say to him in terms of that he will be able to understand. This was lacking in the original scheme of the Sephiroth. Since there was no interaction, this version of creation or world was called Tohu, chaos, and eventually collapsed. There is a tremendous amount of wisdom in this paragraph, even though it's a commentary by the translator. In order to communicate with someone, you have to have that person within you. You get married. You have a female aspect in the male and a male aspect in the female. Otherwise, there would be no communication. Continuing. The rectified world that was created in order to fix this problem was called tikkun, correction. This rectified world that was created in order to fix this problem was called rectification or tikkun. Tohu and tikkun are the immature and mature versions of the first of the four created worlds, Atzilut. Generally, when reference is made to the world of Atzilut, the mature version, Tikkun, is meant. In the world of Atzilut, the Sephirot are no longer one-dimensional points, but have metamorphosed into arrays, partufim, or the singular is a partu. They have become 10 sephirot, 10 points within each one. The translator refers to them as 10 sub-sephirot. And this occurs according to the following pattern. The sephirah in Tohu is the partsuf in the tikkun. The keter is atik yomin, known as the Ancient of Days. The Keter part 2 is Ari Chanpin, known as the Long Face. Chachma is Abba, the Father. Bina is Ima, the Mother. Chesed Gevura Tiferet Netzach Kod Yesod is known as Zerantin, the Small Face. And Malchut is called the Nukva, the Female of Zerantin. Note that the Keter splits into two partsufim, while the aggregate of the emotional attributes from Chesed to Yesod form one. Each partsuf comprises 10 sub-sephirot, as we said. So we may speak of Chesed of Abba, Chachma of Zerantin, and so on. Once each sephirah has become a partsuf, the sephirot may interact and interrelate to each other. This process of interaction is called coupling or zivug. I am adding, in my opinion, the term sub-sephirot is misleading. Even the description chesed of Abba of chesed does not imply that of the two chesed's, one is inferior or less than, as the word sub, sephirot, does imply. Again, the description interaction does not express the full meaning of the Hebrew word zivug. Zivug is expressing the intimacy of sexual relations. Now, when any two people communicate, or a couple, either in the physical or abstract sense, there can be many levels of intensity in their interaction. One of the parties may be distracted or disinterested. This is obviously a less than ideal level of communication. The ignored party will feel as if the other person has turned his back to him, regardless of whether he is physically facing him or not. Thus, in the imagery of Kabbalah, when two partsufim couple, they are said to be either face-to-face, face-to-back, back-to-face, or back-to-back. The initial state is that of being back-to-back, since the one orientation of youth is self-centeredness. Other people are perceived mainly as objects through which one reaches his own selfish ends. Maturity is the broadening of perspective that encompasses the other's perspective. This is the state of being face to face. The numerical value of ephod is identical to that of the two divine names, Hashem, Adonai. The coupling of these two names is the coupling between Zerantin and the Nukba. Every divine name is associated with a Sephirah, or a Partsuf. Since the name of God is simply a term we use to refer to him acting in a certain way, the name Havaya is primarily associated with the Sephirah of Tiferet, which is the pivotal Sephirah of the Partsuf of Zerantin. The name Adonai, which means Lord, is associated with the Sephirah of Malchut, or kingdom, or its manifestation as a Partsuf, the Nukva of Zerantin. I am adding, did you pick up on the idea that a Sephirah of Malchut can act as a Partsuf if it becomes 10 Sephirot? Thus, the ephod itself carries in it an allusion to its consummate state, that of unification with the Choshen. The Choshen corresponds to Zerampin in its immature judgmental state. This is why it is called the Choshen of Judgment, for it is a manifestation of the totally judgmental state of immaturity. The Choshen is called the Choshen of Judgment because by means of the letters engraved on the precious stones affixed to it, answers were obtained to crucial questions facing the Jewish people. Allegorically, however, this term indicates that the Choshen at this stage represents their Zerampin in its immature, self-oriented state. An immature person sees everything from only one perspective, his, and is thus apt to be highly judgmental of those he comes in contact with. We see this clearly with children who, since they lack the perspective of experience, interpret things only with an eye to how they impinge on themselves and what they perceive to be their best interests. Clearly, when Zerampin is in this state, it is not yet ready to couple with its nukva face to face. And I am adding, since the Choshen and the Ephod became lost with the destruction of the temple, we must consider the possibility that the children of Israel might have grown out of the immature state. If this is true, when, as described in the scroll of Esther, the children of Israel observed Ahasuerus wearing the high priest's clothing, they fell back to the immature state. This is my opinion. The Hoshin in this state is equivalent to the snake that tears open the womb of the doe when it gives birth, where this is also a manifestation of total judgment. The imagery here is that of a young female deer giving birth for the first time, since this is her first impregnation. The opening of her womb is still virginal, narrow, too narrow, in fact, for the fawn to fit through. In her pain, trying to give birth, the doe cries, and a snake, hearing the cry, bites the doe, tearing open her womb so the fawn can emerge. Although this benefits the doe, the snake is surely acting only out of its own self-interest. Any revelation may be likened to a birth, but this birth was a first birth. The union of the Choshen and the Ephod at this immature stage is thus characterized by extreme self-interest, each party acting only on its own behalf and motivated to interact only by what it thinks it can get out of the other. When the Jewish people went out of Egypt, they were spiritually immature. The seven-week period between the Exodus and the revelation on Mount Sinai was a maturation process, which we relive every year nowadays as the mitzvah of counting the Omer. Both the splitting of the sea 7 days after the Exodus and the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai 7 weeks after the Exodus were revelations of divinity. But whereas the Jewish people were maturely prepared for the revelation at Mount Sinai, the splitting of the sea occurred at the beginning of their spiritual education, when they were still young and immature. Any revelation may be likened to a birth, but this birth was a first birth and is therefore similar to the first birth of the doe that was just described. We are therefore taught that providing for mankind is as difficult for Hashem as the splitting of the sea, for both are subjects to Hashem's judgment, as mentioned in the Zohar. Our sages state that making a living is compared to the splitting of the sea, as it is written, "Praise God who split the sea apart, who gives bread to all flesh." Now, it certainly is not difficult for God to do anything, including splitting the sea and providing for man's needs. The difficulty in both cases arises from the fact that God's attribute of judgment was or is arguing against it. We are taught that when the Jews were crossing the sea, the guardian angel of the Egyptians was complaining that the Jews were just as sinful as the Egyptians, and that there was no justification for allowing them to pass through while the Egyptians were to be drowned. It was only after special merit was found that the attribute of judgment was silenced. Similarly, God provides for all creation's needs every day. But the fact that man is sinful and thus does not deserve his care makes it difficult for him to provide it. It is only thanks to the fact that God's benevolence prevails over his judgment that man is provided for. From all this, we see that immaturity, the state of being self-oriented and egocentric, arouses God's attribute of judgment. Numerically, this is expressed by the fact that the word for snake in Hebrew, nachash, is equal to 358 in gematria. And this is equal to the numerical value of the name Shaddai, 314, plus the diminishing value, the back of the name Echieh, which is 44, which is also the numerical value of the word for blood in Hebrew, dam. All of this indicates the state of immaturity. The diminishing value of a word is derived by writing the word in full, followed by the word with the last letter left off, followed by the word with the last two letters left off, and so on, until only the first letter is left. All these letters are then added up. In our case, the name Echieh is spelled Aleph Hey Yud Hey. If to this we add Aleph Hey Yud, and then Aleph Hey, and then Aleph by itself, the total of the numerical value of these letters is 44. The significance of the diminishing value of a word is that it signifies the concept conveyed by the word, but in an immature, undeveloped state. Thus, the Hebrew term for this version of the word is acharaim, or back, as we mentioned above. In Kabbalah, back signifies the immature state. The name Echieh in Kabbalah usually signifies the Sephirah of Bina, the principal component of the intellect. The diminished value of Echieh therefore signifies immature intellect, or the constricted consciousness, characteristic of a child or a person who has not matured. Every intellectual idea, if allowed to, will produce an emotional reaction. Now, I mentioned that the back of chesed is givurah. What does that really tell us? That givurah, judgment, will grow into an essence of loving kindness, chesed. When givurah matures, it becomes chesed. It's something for you to contemplate and try to understand. I'm continuing to read. The name Shaddai is associated in Kabbalah with the Sephirah of Yesod, the Sephirah through which coupling takes place. Thus, the above numerical equivalence in which the name Shaddai is added to the diminished value of the name Echieh refers to a coupling conducted in a mode of immature consciousness, each party motivated by and seeking their own interests. The total is equal to the snake, who opportunely takes advantage of the immaturity of the doe, causing her to bleed, as we noted above. To further explain, Aaron personified Zerampin. Zerampin manifests on its heart the lights of Yesod Avima, which are revealed on Zerampin's chest. Ima, as we said, is the partsuf of Bina, which is, as we also said, the principal component of the intellect. Every intellectual idea, if followed, if allowed to, will produce an emotional reaction. In other words, Ima, the mother, gives birth to Zerampin, the amalgam of the emotional attributes. Not only that, but the growth, development, and maturation of this emotional makeup is dependent on it being periodically refreshed and reconstituted by the original idea that gave rise to it. In other words, the development of Zerampin is dependent on the flow of energy it receives from Ima. This is what is meant by the imagery of the lights, or the input or the energy of Ima, issuing from its yesod, the sephirah of transmission between one partsuf and another, and landing on the chest or the heart of Zeranpin. Due to the intensity of the light present there on his heart, these lights pierce through him, shining and projecting outward. If the emotional response is sufficiently intense, it will not be satisfied in simply producing feelings in the person experiencing it, but will motivate him to spread the enthusiasm his enlightenment has granted him to the outside world as well. This is what happens when the student of Kabbalah first is introduced to the concepts of Kabbalah. Similarly, the headband signifies the lights of Yesod of Ima that are revealed on the forehead of Zeranpin, this being the location of all facets of Zeranpin's intellect. These lights, too, shine outward. The emotional response to the intellect of Ima is not simply pure intellect, for we have noted that every partsuf comprises the full array of all 10 sephirot. Thus, Zeranpin has its own intellect, that is, emotions possess their own intellectual underpinning, apart from the abstract intellectual idea that gave rise to them. This emotional intellect must also be fed and renewed by the original abstract intellect, or Ima, in order to be properly energized. When this happens, they too desire to spread forth and illuminate the rest of the world with their inspiration. Correspondingly, Aaron would wear the headband and the choshen, just as does the supernal man. These garments derive from the lights we have now described. The supernal man is another appellation for Zeranpin. Zeranpin seeks to shine its revelations outward rather than just toward them. By wearing these garments, Zeranpin matures. For maturation, it will be remembered as the process of expanding one's consciousness to the extent that it can encompass more perspectives than one's own. This is possible only when one's emotions have been properly fed by the wisdom and understanding of intellect. The tzitz, the headband, and the choshen signify this influx of consciousness, of light, from Ima, the intellect, into the emotions, Zeranpin. As it matures, Zeranpin develops concern not only for itself, but for the outside world as well, and seeks to shine its revelations outward rather than just hoard them within itself. The ophel begins opposite the loins on the back and extends down to the feet, as mentioned above. The ephel thus signifies the nukva, which is initially situated behind Zeranpin. The nukva of Zeranpin is the partsuf of Malchut, or the power to express emotions. Generally, these powers are seen as the three garments of the soul: thought, speech, and action. Each of these is a descent from the intensity of emotional enthusiasm represented by Zeranpin. Yet, on the other hand, they are necessary in order for the urge for expression and spreading of the divine consciousness into the world to occur, as was explained in the comments on Parashat Mishpatim. The feminine side of creation is the drive to conquer and rectify reality and make the world a dwelling place for Hashem, This is done by expressing the inspiration of Zerampin through the Mukha. Thus, as Zerampin matures, it seeks to couple with the Mukha in a mature way that will enable her to descend into the lower realms and give birth to new levels of divine consciousness there. However, scripture therefore teaches us, let not the Choshen slide off the ephod, for they must remain constantly joined above, even when she, the Nukva, the ephod, descends below afterwards. Part of her remains above, as it is written, your word, Hashem, forever stands in heaven. Here we are taught that even when one is involved in expressing and transmitting the divine inspiration to the world, he must remain anchored above. Part of him must always retain consciousness of the original, pristine inspiration. This way he will maintain balance and not lose sight of his goals while involved in the exigencies of translating the inspiration of others. This is an all too common pitfall. A common word for the Sephirah of Malchut is the word of Hashem. Since, as we said above, Malchut is the force of expression of the inspiration of Zerampin. The verse, your word, Hashem, forever stands in heaven, thus means mystically that some aspect of Malchut remains always anchored above, even as it descends to earth to rectify and to elevate it. I am adding, it is important to note the above commentary paragraph, since many times students of Kabbalah are taught the physical world is Malchut. Therefore, the numerical value of Ephod, spelled Aleph Pei Dalet, is 85, and the numerical value of the name Elohim plus 1, which signifies the Nukva. When Ephod is spelled fully with the Vav, Aleph Pei Vav Dalet, its numerical value is 91, that of the combined names Hashem equal 26, and Adonai equaling 65, indicating that it must be united with the Choshen, just as these two names must be united forever. The name Elohim is often considered the feminine complement to the name Havaya. It is fairly common to complete a numerical equivalence by adding the number 1, signifying the totality of the letters of a given word considered as a whole entity. The word, and not just as the constituent elements, the letters. That is the completion of this section. It's also the completion of our class, as we are out of time. Does anyone have any questions? We will have 4 classes tomorrow. One will be at 7 a.m., where we will read the third Aliyah of Tetzaveh. Class at 11 o'clock will be our continuation of the study of Sefer Joshua. At 4:30, we have a Deep Zohar class. And at 7 p.m., we will have again the reading of the Ari, but this time for the holiday of Purim. Shalom Gadol to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Very good.
It is a very good lesson. And it
fit right in with today's reading. It's perfect. And we did read it last year, but it sure meant more this year. So I'm sure because of reading Thor too. So thank you.
There is a meaning to my madness sometimes. So enjoy. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.